Well, hello everybody, it's Saibal Sen from India Startup Talk, and I welcome you to another episode of this series. And in this series, the India Startup Talk, I aim to generate as much enthusiasm as I can in the Indian startup ecospace or Indian startup land. This particular episode, I am going to answer the question, or at least I'm going to try and answer the question, what makes a great founder? I will try to find this answer by analyzing the latest Indian unicorn startups. I'll come to what a unicorn is in a second, but what prompted me to do this episode was a tweet from Kunal Shah, the founder of Cred. And that was April 2021 has been the month of unicorns. A total of 6 unicorn companies emerged just in the month of April in 2021. 5 other startups, of course, Cred was one of them, reached a valuation of more than $1 billion. And that is what earned them the status of a unicorn. So this is what prompted me to dig in deeper and do some research on the founders of these 6 startups to find the answer to that profound question, what makes a great founder? But before I give you the answers, I want to tell you a little bit about how I did the research. I used a method called the initial hypothesis approach, which was made famous by the McKinsey Way book. A lot of folks that used to attend my Zenesis Learning online classes, that was almost a decade ago, or maybe even more than a decade ago, will recognize. It's a pretty effective way of doing research. And in this method, what you do is you come up with a set of initial hypotheses, which means certain assumptions, like what makes a great founder. You just take a blank sheet of paper and you write down like 15 or 20 reasons which you think would make a great founder. Like, for example, they should be hardworking, they should be honest, they should be a great leader, they should be a great speaker, a salesman, whatever, whatever comes to mind. So I did that. I came up with about 20, a long list of 20, 25. And then what you have to do is to dig in to your subject matter, and in this case it was the 6 startups and their founders, and I went and listened to all their podcasts, their articles, their YouTube video interviews, and whatever things I could get my hands on, and I tried to validate those initial hypotheses and correlate to see which one of them are true or seem to be appearing many, many times. So the stronger the correlation, I would bubble up those hypotheses to the top, and then eventually I picked the top 5. So that was my approach. So I know most of you probably know who these startups are. So maybe it's a good idea to give you a little bit of a background on these companies, who they are and what they do. So bear with me before I will get to the traits, my findings of the research. But I think it'll be useful to give you a little bit of background on all these 6 companies. The first one is called Grow, G-R-O-W-W. And this company was founded in 2017. It is basically a new age, I call it a new age platform app, that makes it easy and transparent and super fast to invest in the stock market. Actually, it's right now it's only offering mutual funds, but it makes it very easy. And they have already picked up 10 million customers at the time when I'm making this podcast. And they are obviously making it very easy and low cost to make these trading, because other platforms are charging a good commission. I think this is a very, very low fee, and that's the popularity. I think in future, they also plan to open it up to buy equity or stocks in companies. So that's the company number one, Grow. The second company is called ShareChat, and that was founded in 2015. And this is India's homegrown social network, which is available in 15 local languages. Okay, they already have about 180 million active users, according to one source. In my opinion, although it claims its local language, there's still a little bit of English required for the basic infra setup. But still, it's super useful because a lot of people are not comfortable in English. So if you have minimal knowledge of English, this is great. The other thing I noticed that this app, ShareChat, allows you to classify your content or the content that you are working with, like sports, news, songs, videos, audio. So that's the categorization. So that's the second company, ShareChat. The third company on my list, the third unicorn, which is Meesho, another very, very interesting company. It was founded in 2015. I'll tell you a lot more about the founder when I get started. This is a social reseller network, kind of like Amway. I don't know if you guys know what Amway was. It's basically a company that relied on common public to sell their products in their friend circle, and then they would recruit other friends to become more salesmen. So to me, in my mind, Meesho seems like a digitalization of the old Amway method of selling through social networks. And the nice thing they've done is they've plugged in WhatsApp and Facebook and Instagram seamlessly into it. So this has become the go-to platform for housewives, low to medium income housewives all across India to sell to their friends. And they're selling because the brands they trust, they recommend to their friends and they buy. So according to one article, Meesho has about 750 people working for them, and they claim to have 21,000 suppliers on its platform, along with a network of 2 million resellers. So the 21,000 are the, you know, sort of the vendors, the products, the companies, okay? And the actual salespeople, a majority of them are these housewives, there are 2 million of them. So pretty amazing. The fourth company is called Gupshup, and this was formed way back in 2004. So this is a messaging solution company for what they're calling it automated marketing, e-commerce, and customer support. Now, let me explain that a little better. So basically, they have a chat bot, and some of you may have encountered it. When you go to your favorite e-commerce site and immediately there's a pop-up that says, "Can I help you?" In a chat form, but there is no real person behind it. There is an intelligent bot or a robot behind that chat system that is trying to assist you with the questions you're typing. So it's like an automated chat bot, and it's enabling e-commerce vendors to interact faster and more efficiently with their customers. And they've integrated it various channels, like if you send a WhatsApp or SMS or even Twitter, Facebook. So they are listening into all these channels, and if anybody or their customers have a question or an inquiry, this platform, Gupshup, can handle it to a certain extent, of course. And when it gets too complex, it passes on to a real human being. Kind of reminds me of the days when IVRs were popular. You know, when you pick up the phone and call customer service, before you even talk to a human being, there's a whole bunch of menu options and you go through it, but they were very annoying because you had to go through them serially. But Gupshup, you just type your question and it interprets where you need to be routed. And if it's a simple question, they answer it right away. Like, what time does your store open? You know, you don't even need to speak to a human. The system can do it automatically. So that's what Gupshup does. It's a pretty crowded market, but they're immensely successful here in India. There are other companies out there. So according to what I found, they are actually doing 6 billion messages per month. So you can imagine how popular and how big they are already. I mean, it's a unicorn, right? And their customers are banking, insurance, e-commerce, and travel companies typically. So the next company is the fifth company, and this one's called PharmEasy or Pharmacy. It's kind of like a play on the word pharmacy, PharmEasy. And as you can guess, this is about the medical industry and selling medicines online. This was founded in 2015, so pretty recent. And apparently in less than 2 years, it has become pretty big. So it's grown very, very fast. So this company, PharmEasy, supplies medicines and tests, you know, like lab tests and other medical services to customers, and they charge like a percentage of the transaction fee, and yet they manage to claim at least 20% discount over what you would be able to buy these medicines over the counter in shops or the lab tests. So currently, according to what I found, they are fulfilling 80,000 orders a month, and I'm sure it's grown pretty rapidly given the rise in pandemic and the lockdowns that we're experiencing, a second wave in India. So I'm sure this has shot up even more. They claim to have 100 plus SKUs, which just means the number of different items. So 100,000 SKUs across 7 cities, and they claim they have 1 lakh customers using this totally app-based service. So the last, but obviously not the least, is the company Cred. And this is the sixth company. This one intrigues me a lot. I'm gonna really follow this carefully, and I'll tell you why. This company was formed just in 2018, and it has, about less than almost 2 years, it has become a unicorn, which is pretty phenomenal. So Cred is a platform as an app that allows credit card people, folks who have credit cards, multiple credit cards, would be more the kind of people that would find it useful to pay their bills on time. So you're paying your credit card bills because they could be staggered across different dates in a month, and it would be difficult to keep track. And if you miss the payment, then you get hit with interest charges. So therein lies the incentive to use Cred. If you have multiple credit cards and you want to keep track of when to pay which company, and also the value-add services they're providing, they're giving you all the transaction analysis and where are the hidden charges. It creates a nice, honest report for you, as opposed to the credit card companies, which might be hiding things behind certain things, and you may not be the wiser and do something silly, like end up doing something that costs you more. So this is the value proposition from Cred, and it also offers other discounts like shopping and loyalty points and stuff like that to add to the mix. You know, the reason why I find it intriguing is because, unlike the other startups, the unicorn startups like Meesho, Grow, or even ShareChat, these companies are aiming squarely at the broad population in India. You know, like middle income, low income, of which there are massive numbers. Cred, on the other hand, is focusing on a very narrow band of Indian consumers, the affluent consumers who have multiple credit cards, you can imagine. So to target this customer base and become a unicorn in just 2 years, I think many people would not have attempted it. So that itself is a lesson in learning from how this man Kunal Shah thinks. Okay, so I'll come to it later on. So I'm at the end of my introduction. I need to get into the five traits I promised, and as I said, to do this research, I came up with the initial hypothesis of long list of 2025 items, and then I went through news articles, YouTube videos, podcasts, that have been created by the founders themselves, and sometimes they've been invited by other hosts to just gain insights on what they're talking about, what is near and dear to them, you know, how they portray themselves, how do they communicate. So all that was my research material to come up with the five traits, which I'm going to start now. So the very first trait, and I'm going to try and keep them in order of importance. So as you can see, I'm telling you that trait number one, the most important one, they're all important, but this is my top of the list, which is connection with a cause. So let me expand that a little bit more. So question to ask yourself, if you're a founder, why are you doing this? Why do you want to solve this problem? This is often asked of a founder. Most of you already know it, but I'm going to emphasize this and dig into this a little deeper in my discussion here. So in my opinion, and others will tell you so also, that you will go through lots of up and downs in a startup. And if you don't have this deep-seated connection or connection to a cause, you as the founder will tend to give up quite easily and abandon it. So this is what keeps you going. Okay, you may have also heard people say, you know, why are you doing this? You know, it's I want to get rich. Well, that's the wrong answer. Well, I mean, it's not completely wrong. Of course, you have to make money. You are an entrepreneur, but it's not just the money. It's the cause. It's the connection with the cause. And what I found, so I'm going to dig a little deeper. It's just easier said than done, right? So I'm going to dig a little deeper. So I found that there are three types of connections with a cause, okay? And there is the first one where someone has a pretty solid domain knowledge. And I give you the example of Dr. Dhaval Shah, who was the founder of PharmEasy, a medical doctor who also went on and did an MBA, which is pretty interesting in itself. And he said, I found a quote from him, only technology can solve India's healthcare challenges, and our aim is to make health services accessible and affordable. He said this in a Forbes interview I found. So this was Dr. Dhaval Shah's little bee in the bonnet, as we say in Hindi, you know, dimag mein keeda hai. So this was his, and he was fixated on this, and that is what kept him going, I'm sure, through ups and downs. The second category of connection with a cause I found, which is similar to the first where it was domain related, but now this is some sort of a horizontal expertise. And I'll give you the example of Ankush Sachdeva, who is the founder of ShareChat. Now, ShareChat is the Indian language social media networking, as I mentioned. Him and his friends in IIT Kanpur, Bhanu Pratap Singh, Farid Ashan, these guys just wanted to develop a product. They were obsessed with creating a product. That was their mantra, and that was their secret motivation. So since 2015, all these friends had a common passion, right? Product development. And they went through 14 to 16 different products. And all of them were different to what ShareChat is all about today. So you can imagine how many pivoting they've done, and they never gave up. And some of the products, they were so diverse. Like there was a crime analyzer for Delhi Police Department. I mean, what has that got to do with ShareChat as it is today? So that's my point here, that in this case, theirs was a desire to build a product. So that was the connection with the cause. The third one is an altruistic desire to solve some problem for the social or greater good. So you'll find a lot of people who are very, very interested in solving this. And then that's what is their secret, power inside their hearts that keep them going. And I give you the example of Vidit Ashtray, who is the founder of Meesho, basically an electrical engineer who, even though he was an electrical engineer, he had this altruistic quest, and he created this company serving housewives of low to middle income, less than $30,000 a year, a solution for them to sell, you know, goods and services from brands they trusted to their friends. Okay, and so, you know, the point I'm making is that, you know, how many people out there, not everybody, of course, so each to their own, would like to take up a cause like this and keep going. It sort of reminds me of the famous book by C.K. Prahlad, you know, Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid. So if you ever want to digress a little bit, it's an old classic. It talks about all business people are ignoring the potential of making money from people right down at the bottom of the economic strata. So this is not exploitation. It is just simply bringing a service to them. And if you serve them reasonably well with technology and the right price point, there's a ton of money to be made. And this is more true in this digital age. So I am very happy and super impressed to see a solution like Meesho. I hope there'll be many more such startups in the future that takes advantage of the advances in technology, AI, and whatnot. So that's the three different types of connection with the cause that wants to have. Now let me summarize this. So at the end of the day, if there is no core connection with a cause, you will be like a boat, okay? A boat with an engine, but no rudder. You'll have a lot of power. You'll be going in many, many different directions, and then eventually you're going to lose your way. So that's kind of along my little analogy here. Okay, now, so moving on to trait number two. For trait number two, I picked the ability to solve problems. See, all six of them, and other founders as well, in my prior research and analysis, I found that founders need to be of a mentality that just loves solving problems, a deeply analytical mind. It's so much so that these folks are actually getting excited by facing problems and wanting to solve these problems. If it's not the case, they'll just go crazy when you are in a startup situation and you come across problems that simply look impossible to solve. So of the six founders, I want to mention Kunal Shah again, because this is a gentleman that passionately talks about a deeply analytical mind. And one of the things that I found in his interview is that he talks about how he created this startup called FreeCharge, which is all about paying using currency. And this was invented even before digital currency was invented, according to this article. He also finds the time to do all these talk shows. And in that, he passionately talks about this delta factor. He talks about this delta factor, which is basically about there's a better way of doing things. There was the old way, and now there is the new way. And he calls it the delta factor, the inconvenience factor. And he rates it from 1 to 10. So let's say you do a particular, like paying your electricity bill. In the olden days, it used to be standing in line at the counter and paying the bill. And nowadays, you just go to a portal, you have your wallet ready, and you just set it up once, and every month, you just push a button on your app or your browser, and you pay the bill. So the convenience factor, you can guess that if it was a pain level 3 at one point, now the ease of use was 3 before, and now it suddenly shot up to like a 7 or 8. So that's what he calls as the delta factor. As soon as something becomes a lot easier, people love to do that, they don't go back. But anyway, that's not the point. The point here is how Kunal talks about the personality or the trait of solving problems. The second example I want to give you is about Meesho. The founder of Meesho is Vidit Ashray. And in one of the articles that I found, Inc. 42, he and his co-founders, they said that they want to measure their employees not by the amount of effort they put in, but how many problems they are solving. So again, my point here is that they're putting so much emphasis on the ability to solve problems that they also want to see that manifest in their employees or their team. So in summary, I would say that trait number one was a deep connection with the cause, and trait number two is ability or love, the love of solving problems, ability to solve problems or the innate desire and the affinity to solve problems. These two go hand in hand. I think they're kind of inseparable. The other three traits I'm going to talk about pretty much stand on their own, but these two go hand in hand. So if you don't have these two, I don't want to sound discouraging, but you have a tough road ahead. And perhaps the solution here is to find a co-founder who loves solving problems. If you don't have this in yourself, you have a deep connection with the cause and this one's missing, then you can probably get it from a co-founder. So that's trait number two. Trait number three, hard working. Now this may sound like a very trite remark that someone should be hard working, and you say, yeah, we know. But this cannot be taken lightly. I tell you what I noticed, that of the six founders of these six unicorns, four of them are from IITs. Now, let's talk about IITs for a second. You may think that, oh yeah, so-and-so went to IIT or an Ivy League school, so therefore all the investors love them and they give them money. No, I think what's going on here, what's going on here is, by definition, if you have managed to get into a premier institute like an IIT or Ivy League school, you are by definition a hard worker. You don't take any shortcuts. You work relentlessly. You have a goal in mind. You work your ass off. And even when you entered these schools, you still worked your ass off. Now, people view these graduates from Ivy Leagues and IITs as people who have a bona fide certificate in hard work. That means they're no slouches, they're not lazy, they don't cut corners. And the remaining other two, one is the founder of CRED, Kunal Shah. He didn't go to an IIT, but he did go to Narsee Monji. He proudly claims he dropped out because he felt that he could learn more stuff by doing than by sitting in an MBA class. But also, look at his track record. He's running a billion-dollar company, and yet he's out there doing interviews, tweeting, blogging, doing presentation. A restless soul. So he's definitely a certified hardworking guy. The other one is Dr. Dhaval Shah from PharmEasy. He's not from IIT, but he's a medical doctor, and he wasn't satisfied with that. He went on to do an MBA from a pretty decent school, almost Ivy League, XLRI, and how many doctors do an MBA? So you can imagine that this guy just wanted to work hard during his academic life, learn as much as he could. So there again proves my point. So trait number three, which is hard working, is you cannot take it that lightly. So there is a distinct connection between founders and how relentless they are. So, as I said, at the risk of sounding very trite and hackneyed, please understand that it's not an easy path. But if you are by nature someone who's restless and continues to work hard, this is probably not that hard for them. Okay. Lalit Keshre, another example of Grow, he already started working on his next venture before he started, and that was Flipkart, which he sold to Walmart. So you can see this kind of restless souls. You know, these people, I also go back to one of the earlier ones, trade one, which was working for not working solely for money. So you will see a consistent pattern where ex-founders or serial entrepreneurs, they finish one, they just don't take the money and run and sit under a tree and spend rest of their lives taking it easy. They just jump right back in and do it all over again, which means it's not for the money. It's something else driving them. And that is, they just want to keep on working, and working just gives them the energy, and they don't take any shortcuts. So quickly summarizing, trait number three is hardworking. And as I said, my anecdotal evidence is that 4 out of the 6 were out of IITs, and the other two were displayed no less symptoms of proving how hard they work. I mentioned that one of them even went to a pretty darn good school. I think I may have mistakenly said almost like an Ivy. Ivies are all in the US. But you get my point that it's a pretty premier institute, XLRI. So, you know, you may have also heard that what Edison said, genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. Quite simply, this principle applies here, and that's no surprise at all. Trait number 4. So this one's a little a tough one. I struggled quite a bit with this one because, quite simply, I wanted to say should be a great leader. But then the problem with saying a great leader, again, it becomes like a very, I want to use the word jaded or trite again. You know, sounds boring. Yeah, everybody will say, I know, good leader. So I wanted to unpeel it a little bit and go a little deeper. There are several qualities of a leader, as you all know. And the two that I zeroed in on, and I want to say that these two qualities of a leader, one is being egoless, okay? And the second one is being a good delegator. These two I found are pretty crucial, and you'll understand why investors are always looking for good teams. They never are interested in a solo founder. And it goes back to this particular trait in a founder where they realize they are mature enough and they are experienced enough to know that they bring something wonderful, a connection with a cause and some expertise, but they can't do it all by themselves. They may think they can, but that's a problem. And these two things, being egoless and having, or if you have the, or if having the ability to delegate things by trusting somebody who can do it and without micromanaging them, this was something that I wanted to highlight. So the examples that I want to give you where this has been displayed pretty strongly in of the 6 companies that I analyzed is Meesho founder Vidit Ashtray. Okay, Vidit realized that the success of his company depended on serving women in households that are earning less than 10,000 rupees a month. Okay, so he took it upon himself, and he talks passionately about this in one of the articles that I read, that he wanted to make sure that his middle management understood that they are solely existing for the purpose of serving. Who's your customer? This lady in this lower income household of, you know, literally 10,000 rupees a month, he wanted to inculcate that culture in the company. And the point here is quite subtle. And the point I'm trying to make is about ego. Well, let's give you a little test here. Say you are a founder and you're asked a question, hey, what's one of your biggest challenges in your startup? And these are the 3 options I would give you, and you should pick one of them. Getting the best social media influencers for my go-to-market strategy. That's option 1. Option 2 is hiring the best software engineer to build my AI, ML, you know, engine, right? And the 3rd option is figuring out a business model to help low to medium income housewives to sell to their social network. The first two sound pretty cool, right? That's what you want to do. You don't want to brag about the third one. You get my point, right? So that's what sort of reached out to me, and I could see that it stood out, really made me, you know, sit back and take notice that this gentleman with it has, you know, no problems with ego. And I don't think any founder should, which is a very, very key thing. I want to give you another example of Birut Sheth, and he's the Gupshup founder on, again, humility. So his prior startup, Elance, a huge success story also, which I don't know any of you know, but Elance was a marketplace for freelancers, kind of Fiverr and Elance, and they're pretty successful these days, and especially so in the gig economy. So these guys were, you know, when they founded Gupshup, when they founded Elance, in those days, they didn't have much money, and they took a little tiny apartment in Manhattan in New York City, and one of the founders, co-founders, used it as a bedroom and their office. I mean, they don't have any hangups, right? They just said, this is our office and we're going to work from here. Another one is Ankush from Sherchat, the founder of Fetch. He went through, as I mentioned before, I think also, that he went through 14 different iterations of his company. They pivoted 14 times before they settled on Sherchat. So each time they were going through a different business model, and they had no ego. They just kept going and going and going until they got it right. So let's summarize on this one. No ego problems, okay? The point here is that most successful people, bright people, people with means, in other words, you have all the qualifications of being a founder, generally tend to come with big egos. You know, either you're an ex-consultant or you are working in investment banking and so on and so forth. I'm not generalizing here because clearly a lot of founders, most of these unicorn founders are coming from consulting and investment banking backgrounds. So these people don't have that ego, and that is the key to remember this. So another thing is that you have to be able to delegate. You need to roll up your sleeves, set an example, show how it's done. You're learning yourself, you're delegating, you're cheerleading, you're selling, do whatever it takes. So it's a combination of no ego and the ability to delegate. So I saved the best one for the last, and that's trait number 5, and that is communication skills. I found that all founders, not just these unicorn founders, but I read a lot of articles, listen to a lot of videos, and I find that every one of the founder are super smooth communicators. They speak with clarity, they're eloquent, they can describe, they can tell stories and keep you engaged, and you're listening to them, hanging on to every single word. I mean, like you, all of us have sat in classrooms in school and colleges and taught by teachers who, of course, really know their subjects, but we've dozed off at times, right? Because they can't hold our attentions. They're not super communicators. They're supposed to be, but not all of them are great teachers. But consistently, I find every single founder has a wonderful ability to keep you captivated, no matter what language they're speaking in, how they speak, or how they speak it, or where they're from. You're just listening to them, and that's just magic. And I think this is really, really important, because as a founder, you're constantly selling, you're constantly convincing people, you're convincing customers, partners, investors. I mean, it's never ending. Your teammates, your employees, they have to have faith in you. And this is a very, very crucial skill. So that's trait number 5. To be successful, you need to be a super communicator. So folks, that brings me to the end of the podcast here. And I want to quickly summarize the 5 traits. Number 1 was connection with a cause. And that's divided into 3 parts. The cause connection can be either a domain or a vertical expertise. And if you don't have this right now in your current startup, you should think about pivoting. The second part of connection with the course could be your horizontal expertise. And if you don't have it, again, like one, you pivot, okay? And the third part of the connection with the course was an altruistic motive. And if you don't have one, you should find one. The second trait of a successful founder is a inherent problem solver. Now, if you yourself don't have it, like I said before, if you have the connection with the cause and you don't like solving problems, then you can get a co-founder who loves to do it. And the same is true with the third trait, which is a hard worker. So, I mean, of course, your intention might be there, but you're not a habitual hard worker, then I suggest you find a partner who is a hard worker and keeps you at the grindstone all the time. So that'll work too. So those are the three. And then a fourth one is an egoless leader. Okay, you do a little bit of introspection and realize the benefits. Okay, if you have a problem with the ego, just sit down and think how important this is, because you cannot fight a battle alone. You really need to be a true delegator. And I'm saying is, if you feel you have an ego problem, you can work on it. Okay, so moving on to number five, you need to be a super communicator. Okay, and you can also cultivate this. If you don't have it, practice. Just talk in front of the mirror, talk to your friends, talk to your family members, and if the eyes glaze over, you know, start all over again, you can cultivate this. So these are the five things, and I hope this podcast has been useful to you, has been an eye-opener to the softer skills of what you need to be a successful founder. I say that you do these five things. For example, have a genuine cause with a connection and you will never give up, okay? If you enjoy problem solving, which was trait number two, you'll never get stressed. Trait number three was working hard as a virtue, and the breakthrough, if you keep doing this relentlessly and your success is eluding you, it will come one day, okay? So that's the benefit of trait number three. Fourth one is you be egoless. And you will get much, much further than you have ever imagined if you were trying to do it alone. And that's the benefit of being egoless. And last, communicate well, and business will just come to you. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed it. Until next time. Hey listeners, it's your host Saibal Sen. I really hope you liked what you heard today. Maybe you can give me some feedback on improvements, maybe suggest a new topic, or even join me as a guest in my next episode. So to contact me, you can follow and join a discussion page that is on LinkedIn, Zenesis India Startup Talk. Zenesis, spelled as Zenesys, India Startup Talk.